Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan, and simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Friday morning, a football Friday. We'll talk plenty Jets-Vikings as the Jets have their third straight home game. They're 3-3. If they find a way to win this game, boy, a lot of people will be talking about them. You got the Giants and Falcons on Monday night. Plenty of time to delve into that. And the Boston Red Sox make quick work of the Houston Astros. I didn't see that coming. But the Boston Red Sox last night, on the unlikely back of David Price, end up beating the Astros in five in Houston and go on to represent the American League in the World Series. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
I'm doing all right there, Gio. Yeah, it was, I was wrong with the Cardinals last night, and I was wrong with the Red Sox, man. I mean, the Cardinals were horrendous last night.
I'm right there with you, man.
But it just goes to show you that a rookie quarterback, even though he looks like he can throw the ball and he's got all the physical tools, when you get out on the field there and you got to play against good pass rushers and you throw interceptions and your offensive coordinator doesn't even try to run the ball against a team that's given up all these yards on the ground.
They don't know what they're doing.
Do in large part because they have so many injuries on their offensive line. You say to yourself, you know, that's one team that the rookie quarterback shouldn't be playing. I mean, he just made so many mistakes. And those mistakes turned into points as the Denver Broncos defense scored early and often. And to me, it goes back. I go back to the draft day and the comments that Josh Rosen said. And his comments were very, said in anger and frustration. And you look back on him now and then you look at the performance last night and you go, this kid's just not ready. And his comments were like, you know, there were nine teams that made a mistake. You know, I'm going to make them pay for it. And Denver was one of those teams because Denver was a team that was in need of a quarterback. They took Bradley Chubb. They passed on him. Arizona, traded up to number 10 to get Josh Rosen. And he basically got his ass kicked last night. And just goes to show you how hard it is to play quarterback in this league as a rookie. Because they have some pretty good players on their team. But they didn't come to play. Steve Wilks, their head coach, standing on the sideline looking like a deer in the headlights. Mike McCoy, their offensive coordinator, trying to figure out, you know, how to move the ball down the field. It was hard to watch.
Yeah, it was just a terrible game. Thursday night had a couple of good runs there with some good games in a row, and this one was not one of them. It was absolutely awful. Two teams that we probably won't mention very much for the rest of the year because I think both are going nowhere unless you get a fired coordinator, which you might get in Arizona a little bit later today, or a fired head coach in Denver if they go on another big losing streak. So, I mean, that's really all I have to say about those guys because that was not good football last night and mainly one-sided by the Cardinals. They're right now the worst team in football.
I think back to the discussion around the draft. Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen. Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen. You remember those people saying, well, Josh Rosen is
the most. I was one of them. I like Josh Rosen. I still ready.
I'm not saying that he can't be a good player. I'm just saying that you could just see that he's not ready. He's just not ready for prime time. There are times where he makes some good throws, but it's not really about the throws that you worry about. It's about the decision-making that you worry about. And what I saw last night is what I saw from Sam Darnold a few weeks ago against Jacksonville, a guy that's playing a game way too fast, anticipating things the wrong way, not understanding down and distance where to throw it. And then, you know, of course, his offense coordinator doesn't help him. So you have all of that wrapped into one, and you have just a lackluster performance. And you got to wonder if the Cardinals are going to start tearing it down here.
Oh, they should. I mean, you've heard a lot of things about them trading away guys already. Patrick Peterson is out there on the block. That's been reported. So, yeah.
Although their president, Michael Bildwell came out and said, that's not correct. I will not be trading Patrick
Unless
Peterson.
You get a first-round pick for him and from a team that might be projected in the top 20, and then all of a sudden you change your tune. But, I wouldn't be surprised if they went into full rebuild mode. And, you know, it's a good thing. I was thinking about the Jets last night just because of the same type of trajectory that both of these teams are on, where they're rebuilding a little bit around a younger quarterback, and Josh Rosen didn't start right away, and Sam Darnold did, but I mean, the Jets are in just such a better shape than what the Arizona Cardinals are in right now.
It's obvious when you watch it, right? You say to yourself, okay, at least our quarterback's been somewhat careful with the football the last couple weeks, and the nice thing about what Sam Darnold's going through is when he does throw a pick, he comes back and it doesn't seem to affect him.
Yeah,
which is really what you want. And I mean, after that first tip ball interception for a touchdown last night, the game was over, because the next series, I think it was the next series, it's third and one. Why not run the ball against the worst run defense in football instead? Oh, let's throw a little slant and drag route, and the drag route's wide open. Just throw it to Larry Fitzgerald. It's going to be a first down. Nope, I got to try to jam it in there. And his receiver stops because he doesn't want to get called for a pick play. And next thing you know, the ball's in the back in the end zone for the Denver Broncos again. So that was ugly last night. The other thing too, you know, I was a little surprised that at the way that the Red Sox went about this. Last night was all business in their, you know, for them, that it was just like, you know what, we got this. We've had a great year. We're going to close this thing out. And of course, all the people in Houston are ticked off at Joe West because of that home run discussion we had yesterday.
They lost every game at home, you know?
Yeah, it's amazing that they lost every game in their building.
Yeah.
Is that unbelievable? That team that the Yankees couldn't beat there, if you know, last year at all, and a team that was really surging at the end of the year, and they lost three games in their building.
Well,
think about that.
You know it's your year when David Price has to be thrust into pitching that game because Chris Sale is too weak and he gives you that performance. You know it's your year when Jackie Bradley Jr., a guy who couldn't hit at all early on in the season, Red Sox fans wanted him out, is the guy who ends up being the ALCS MVP. You know it's your year in the third inning when it's an 0-2 count on J.D. Martinez and the home plate umpire misses a called strike three that was essentially down the middle of the plate.
Unbelievable.
And then the next pitch, Justin Verlander hangs a curveball and J.D. Martinez hits it out. Everything was trending Red Sox during this series, and I thought Houston was going to take care of them. I thought that bullpen was going to be the death of them, and it wasn't. And the way that Alex Cora has handled that team and that bullpen, the way that he had the guts to go to Chris Sale in Game 4 against the New York Yankees, and the way that he went to Eovaldi last night as the bridge to Kimbrel, he has not lost faith in Kimbrel, even though he's ready to give away games to a couple of teams in a couple of series. And here are the Red Sox primed and ready to go for the World Series next week. What an incredible year by them. And no matter who comes out of the National League, it's going to be hard to pick against them with the way that they're playing.
Yeah, it almost seems like they're on a trajectory of like, this is our year. We've been the best team all year long, and we're going to follow it all the way up through a World Series win. You know, that thing about Kimbrel, I'm thinking of your Corey. You know that there's a likelihood that he's going to put you in a really bad spot, but then there's also the aspect that he's been with you all year, you know, and you just got to live and die with him. You just have to do what I think is the loyal thing to do. I think that the players react to things like that. I can't imagine Corey changing anything that he does, no matter who they play here in the World Series, simply because they've won 108 games and they just basically went right through Houston in Houston. Why change anything, right? Even though he may be the weak link to your team, I don't think he changes. I think he's just going to go with them. And if they're in a closing situation or they need to get a couple big outs late in the game, they're going to put him in there because they do believe in him.
Yeah, and I think that over the long haul, that's probably what Cora's looking at. But there's going to be a spot where he's walking guys, and maybe it hurts him in the World Series, but it didn't hurt him in the ALDS. It didn't hurt him in the ALCS. And now you have this conversation that happens in Yankee fans' heads where is it better that you end up looking like you lost to what could be the best team in baseball? Does that make you feel better? Does it make you feel worse because you feel like if you would have beaten the Red Sox, then you would have been able to go in and beat Houston because they didn't look like the championship team they were a year before? I mean, it's just because it's the Red Sox, it's tough to take for the Yankees and their fans. I mean, it's just impossible
to watch
this.
It's taken nine games, right? to get 7 wins.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that for a second.
Yeah.
They are on a roll right now. And, you know, it's, assuming whatever happens tonight, I guess. So you have the Dodgers and the Brewers playing in Milwaukee tonight. If the Brewers are able to win that, I'm assuming that it gives the Red Sox another day of rest. I don't know if the World Series would start any differently.
No, it's Tuesday.
It is Tuesday, no matter what.
Tuesday at Fenway, yep. So, I mean, I don't know if it works for or against them because, you know, I remember, you know, there was a couple of times. What was it back in 2006? The reason why this one pops in my mind is because the Mets were involved in the NLCS, but remember the Tigers who made quick work of everybody in the American League and were sitting around forever while the Cardinals and Mets ended up playing in that NLCS to Game 7 and the Cardinals swept them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if the rest thing is going to be a factor or not. I always tend to lean.
I think it's good for their ace, Chris Sale.
Yeah, it's good for that because these guys got stomach flus and whatever. But to me, I like the fact if you can get a couple of days to get your bullpen arms rested a little bit, give a guy who might have a lingering injury a day off, then that's great. But if it ends up being longer than that, if we're talking about a week or so, but no, it's essentially the weekend for the Red Sox.
For the Red Sox players who probably got home last night after the game or early this morning, tonight and tomorrow and Sunday for that matter, watching football and hanging around
sure.
and you know getting ready to play in the World Series, it doesn't get any better than that. I mean, they are sitting right there going, man, this is awesome. Like they are now getting to enjoy some of the fruits of their labor, and then on Tuesday they get it going on for real. But I could just imagine what it must be like today and tomorrow. Maybe they have an off day or something. Maybe they come together on Sunday and work out at Fenway, whatever it is. But just to hang there, knowing like before we went to Super Bowl 23, we had that 2 week period. That 1 week that we were at home in Cincinnati, getting ready for the Super Bowl, and most of all of our practice stuff, we stayed on a normal. Day and we were acting as if we were playing that next Sunday when we had off, but Sam wanted to keep the routine, but it was like you couldn't wait to leave the building because you knew when you walked out in the streets of Cincinnati that everybody was jacked up and everybody is pushing for you and everything else like that, and there's that moment where you get to just absolutely live a childhood dream that you're getting ready to go play either in the World Series or in our case, it was the Super Bowl.
Yeah. And another thing I was just thinking about too with the Red Sox and the Yankees, think about how similar some of their big moves were this season and last offseason. They both went out and got a big slugger one way or another. J.D. Martinez.
One cost twice as much as the other.
Right. Giancarlo Stanton. Last time we saw Giancarlo Stanton, he's waving at breaking balls on the outer half, not giving himself a shot like he did back in April. Last time we saw J.D. Martinez, he's hitting home runs in the ALCS to essentially win games. By the way, I should have mentioned first, rookie manager. Right.
That's
so they
right.
go out
yep.
and they get rid of their manager. They hire a guy who's never been a manager before. Last time we saw Alex Cora, he had champagne on his head. Last time we saw Aaron Boone, he was leaving his starters in way too long in back-to-back ALDS games that ended up working against the Yankees. And then the trade deadline. We saw two guys come over from different organizations that were starting pitchers at the trade deadline. And you look at Jay Happ and his one opportunity against the Red Sox and he was like a rumor, Jay Happ. He was in the game for 5 seconds. And then Nathan Eovaldi, who has won two big game threes and then came in last night in critical moments in the bullpen. I mean, think about those three things and how they worked out in different ways for the Red Sox and the Yankees. It's crazy. And that's the difference between a championship team and a team that's searching for themselves right now.
There's not that much difference, though, when you think about it. I mean, they're close. They had opportunities. And just like the Astros had opportunities, even in light of the Joe West call and everything else, the Astros had the bases loaded and they just could not score in the bottom of the ninth inning.
I've heard
two
that
nights
before,
ago.
Right?
Yes, exactly. It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
So here we go. So we got the Jets playing the Vikings on Sunday. Vikings are a good team. They've actually started to turn their season around and everything else. This is one of those watershed moment games.
Oh, no.
That's what it is, Al.
No,
write it down.
No, no, no,
it's
no, no.
a watershed moment
no, no,
game
no, no,
for the
no,
Jets.
No,
yes,
no,
it is.
No. It's a house money game.
You call it house money. I call it watershed. I think we're talking about the same thing. You're saying that if they win, you know, it's great that they won. Nobody expected them to win. I'm saying if they win, now people are going to start taking them really seriously. Even though they're led by a rookie quarterback, it's been a little bit sporadic. The last two games have been great defensively, getting turnovers and things of that nature. And they've been able to run the ball, and they've stuck with the run. And it's one of the reasons why, you know, Sam Darnold's playing as well as he is. They can fall back on some of that. So the interesting thing will be what it would be like after the game if somehow, some way, Sam Darnold beats the Vikings.
Oh, I mean, there's going to be a lot of Jet talk, not
That's
just here.
That's why it's a watershed moment game, Al.
Well, yeah, but here's the reason why it's not a watershed moment game.
It's a watershed moment
An event or period marking a turning point in a course of an action or state of affairs. So if you only have one turning point.
What did you go to the dictionary? Google watershed?
Right. I figured one of us had to know the meaning of it.
I know exactly what it is. So, this is a turning point for their season.
No, it's not.
Yeah,
because
it is.
No, because
if they win, now you take them seriously.
But if they lose, we're not going to stop taking them seriously.
Yeah, but no, if they win, you really take them seriously. You're saying, wow, man, they beat a good team at home. This may be something special happening here.
I'm not doing it, man. It's house money. It's
house
money.
What do you think? He thinks it's a house money game. I think it's a watershed moment game.
I've never heard the term watershed. I have no idea what that means.
That's why I went to get the definition.
Still confusing.
Yeah, right.
Well, tell him the definition.
An event or period marking a turning point in a course of action or state of affairs.
Oh, this could be watershed game.
Definitely.
It actually is both.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, it's more watershed than it is house money, though.
Go ahead. You can have it.
No, it's both.
Bang.
Yeah, but it's more watershed than it is
if
house money.
If they win.
That's what I said.
But right now, before, when it's just potential, it's both. It's kind of like a quantum physics thing.
Mm. Yeah, quantum physics thing. That's what we excel at here on Boomer and Geo, on The Fan, and CBS Sports Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.